Right, so today is an interview with one of my favourite Coventry people. I've had the pleasure to know Phil over the past couple of years, both in terms of two people that are in town all the time, plus the amount of gigs that I've been here. So I'm meeting today with Phil Rooney, founder of the HMV Empire, who's going to tell me his Coventry story, a bit about the Empire, and obviously this amazing venue that we're sat in now. So Phil, what a pleasure to have you with me.
Thank you, Aaron. Nice to be with you on this podcast.
So let's start off with you and Coventry then. How did you come to be in our great city?
Yeah, I was born in Glasgow. My dad was an engineer. My mum wasn't. And they needed to, well, my dad had a job down in Coventry. And it was off the job down in Coventry. I think it was at Roots. And he moved the family down there. That was around about 1971-ish, I think. And we've been here ever since. I count myself, obviously I still have my Scottish roots and I'm very proud of my Scottish roots. But I'm even more proud of my Coventry. I'm more Coventry than anything. So yeah, very proud to be in this city, very proud to work in the city. The city's given me a lot. So yeah.
And what area did you grow up in?
I'm a Willenhall lad. Been in Willenhall probably since we got maybe 72 or something like that. So I do a lot of work around the Willenhall area with football teams, and you know, we should be the guys at Pride of Willenhall on the Facebook page. Clellan, the team over there. My mum had an off license in Willenhall precinct for 33 years. My dad was a builder, and he was an engineer. Then when that all sort of dried up, he became a builder and eventually ended up as a taxi driver, but he was the chairman, president of the Willenhall Club for many years, on the committee there for 30 odd years. So totally invested in Willenhall, very proud to come from Willenhall, still live just on the outskirts of Willenhall. Spend a lot of time, all my family still live there. So yeah, that's where I'm from.
Because you had a pub, didn't you?
Club? Oh, yeah, I've had a few pubs over the years. The one you alluded to, the one we had the most was, or for the longest time, was the Tiger Moth, which then turned into Coventry Arms, and which is now the Miners Arms in Binley. So we had that for, I think, we ran it three times. I think it accumulates into about maybe 9 or 10 years that we were there overall. But yeah, it was good. It was, it was good fun. Made a lot of good friends that, you know, are still friends today. But running a pub is a very difficult game these days, and anybody out there listening to this has got any experience of owning a pub or a lease to a pub will know where I'm coming from. That's why they're all closing down. It's an impossible game to win at, unless you're going to do 150 hours a week for no money. And then it will be very successful.
Yeah, you see it in town a lot. Like how many pubs have closed down in the last few years. It's obviously seen a trend that we're seeing across the UK in general. Kind of what are your thoughts on how that direction is moving?
Yeah, we're going to end up losing all these community pubs. Simple as that. You've got to be selling food these days. You know, if you're not selling food in a pub, in a standard sort of family or community pub, you're not going to be making any money. So more and more will go by the wayside. Even the big chains are struggling. You know, everyone's struggling, you know. You need to diversify. But you're sort of in a community pub, you are shackled a bit on what you can do. Normally they have a bit of a reputation from years ago. So, you know, the days of the heyday of, you know, mum, dad and, you know, Peter and Paul popping into a pub on a Sunday afternoon for a couple of pints and a packet of crisps and a Vimto are gone. You know, those people don't visit local pubs anymore. It just tends to be the hardcore regulars, and you just can't survive on that money. You just can't do it. It's impossible. Business rates are ridiculous. Rents are ridiculous. You're paying 30, 40, 50% more to a pub company for your beer than you would if you owned the lease or owned the freehold. So it's a real diminishing trade, sadly, because, you know, pub on a community, it should be the hub. The pub should be the hub, and you know, everything should sort of run out of there, and unfortunately a lot of communities don't want them anymore.
So was that kind of some of the start of the original Empire? Did you see some of that come in?
Well, I've got a bit of a mixed history. I mean, I worked for the Coventry Evening Telegraph for quite a long time, and my friend's band wanted to put a gig on. I think it was at the Beer Engine on Farquharson Street.
When would this have been?
Oh, crikey. I know you're asking. It would have been around about 26, 27 years ago. And it sort of, we were expecting our first son, Jack. And I was working at the Evening Telegraph and the money was okay, but I needed to make some more money. And my friend said to me, do I fancy putting his band on at a pub for a night? And I decided to give it a go at promoting. I've always been to live music. And it moved on from there. It wasn't anything to do with pubs in those days. It wasn't me sort of seeing a diminishing trade and thinking, right, I need to, find another thing to do. I was already settled in a career. I was doing well in my career at the Telegraph. I got lots of promotions and I was earning decent money. But when you have a young kid joining the family, new baby or two, needed to get a little bit more money coming in. So I decided to do that, enjoyed it, won some, lost some, that's the thing about promoting. You're never always going to make a quid on the door. You have to take the rough with the smooth. People sometimes just don't turn up and you haven't got the lineup right, or you haven't got the venue right, or there's something else going on. There's a lot of things to consider. So I sort of dabbled with that, as well as working in my day job at the Coventry Evening Telegraph. And in that period of time, things when we first took on the, or round about that time, in a year or two, we took on the Tiger Moth in Binley. So I was sort of doing that, working at Telegraph as well as promoting bands. The promoting bands thing, but then sort of fell asleep for a while. I just sort of came out of it, probably didn't need it with the pub and the Telegraph. The income was probably reasonably, we were probably earning enough money to get on without having to do that. And that didn't really awaken until I was offered the General Wolf, which obviously anybody of my age or older will know that General Wolf was, has a tremendous history for live music. I mean, they've had some great bands play there, which harks back to the old days of when a band would go out in their transit and go and tour every venue they could. It's all a little bit more arena, it's all arenas and bigger venues and stuff now, which I'm not knocking because we're part of that now. But at the time, I think U2 and Marillion and there's all sorts of, the Specials used to rehearse upstairs in the old rooms above the pub. And I saw that on and got a little bit more into the venue owning side of things. And I thought, well, this is easier than promoting bands. I was still promoting bands, but I was promoting them in my own venue. So I was getting the bar tag, I was getting the tickets and I was getting the nights. And obviously we're paying the bands or doing whatever we needed to do with the bands to get them in. And that just felt a lot easier for me. It felt a little bit more fulfilling. It felt like it was valued a bit more. And it was the whole 360 thing, from finding the band to putting the poster up to selling tickets to getting the punters in to serving them a nice range of drinks and for them to have a great night and walk away smiling and the band to be happy as well. It was the whole thing for me. And that's what I get a buzz over. I like to go in Empire if we've got a show on. And I probably spend most of the night looking at the crowd because that's what it's about for me. I want people to come in here. Of course, I want them to come in and enjoy the music. But if they enjoy the music, enjoy the surroundings and what we're offering, the guest experience, that's why I do it. The money thing is great. Of course it is. But we're a music venue. No one ever became a millionaire owning a music venue. To the outside world, it looks great. All these tickets being sold and all this beer being sold. And it is. It is great. But, the reality of it all, there's a lot of costs putting these shows on. A lot of costs. I suppose that's how I ended up being a backroom pub promoter to a semi-venue owner to then becoming sort of the old... I was involved in the establishment, which is now the Slug and Lettuce. And then I came out of that, and then we found the venue on Falgosa Street, which was Hush, which was the old Student Union nightclub, which they closed down and were prepared to mothball and just sit on it until the lease ran out. So we had a four-year lease off them, which we went in and, crikey, I think we spent something like £150,000 on turning into a music venue. And I thought at the time I was nuts doing that. But it was really, I just drove past the old venue now coming here and I still get a little, it's like my little baby still, I still got the Empire out the front and, there are a lot of firsts in that building for me, for my family, for the people that work with me, my team, our team. And yeah, it still does. To see it in the wreck and ruin it is now is a little bit disappointing. But unfortunately, we had to leave there. But yeah, we had some firsts in there. We got the Libertines to play there. Tom Grennan played his very first gig there. You know, the Enemy did their final farewell shows there before. Obviously, they've reformed now, but you know, they did their final three or four shows there. I have some fantastic memories of that place. And we were really sort of, making up as we went along, you know, because we were really then trying to get on the bigger stage when it comes to touring. We were trying to sort of impress people like SJM and AEG and Live Nation and all these big, big promoters in the UK. We were really trying to sort of put ourselves out there, because when I told people what we were going to do at Far Costa Street, pretty much, bar a couple of people, pretty much told me I was mad. And Coventry's day for live music and touring bands had gone. And this was from people that I respected. And I don't not respect them. They were absolutely right to have an opinion. And, you know, I saw it as them trying to give me advice at the time. But I wasn't prepared to take that advice. I knew better. You know, I don't like to blame my own trumpet. It isn't just me. There's a whole team around me now. But sometimes when people are telling you, no, we can't do it, it won't work, why are you doing it, save your money, go and open a pub, go and open a candle shop, whatever it might be, I was convinced that it wouldn't. And I'll be honest with you, that if there have been months, or were months, certainly in the early days at Far Costa Street, I sat in that office, you know, with a big VAT bill to pay and wages to pay and suppliers to pay and not have enough money to do it, and thought, maybe they were right. You know, but everybody has their doubts, you know. I don't think anybody's in business on their own. Well, not on their own, but in their own business doesn't have doubts. You have to have doubts, I suppose. But it's how you work those doubts out, right?
It's a good feeling. I think, and the thing you said earlier around facing the crowd, like, you know Coventry. Mm. And I feel I know Coventry. And obviously, I can't compare me writing some children's books with the place, yeah, that we're in now. But at the same time, I got a gut about, yeah. I thought that the people in the city would engage with what I did.
Yeah.
There's self-doubt, but you've got to go with your gut. And I essentially did a model which should be going through a publisher and all that. And I said, no, I'm going to do it myself. Yeah, I'll make more money if I just fund this myself, and which is what I did.
Well, look, there's a great story in music about, you know, sort of like putting your twos up to the industry, and that's Jerry Cinnamon. You know, Jerry is a real fantastic talent. He was told by record companies people didn't want to hear a Glaswegian accent. People didn't want to hear Glaswegian slang in songs. You know, they didn't want to see him. He wasn't very attractive, or, you know, to them, I guess. He wasn't a poster boy. And he's just flew. And he's done it outside of the industry. He's done it with his own people. Friends, families, you know, he's built a team around him, and look at him now, he's flying.
He's always somebody when I'm here. If it comes on, the place goes mental.
Yeah.
I always see it here. If I associate, but maybe that's because it's aligned with you and the people that come to places like this. It feels like hand in hand, Jerry Cinnamon, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'd love to get Jerry here. I mean, I'll put a post. I take it as a compliment. I put a post up the other day on Sunday, I think it was. I was listening to Jerry Cinnamon at home. I was chilling out. You know, I was just having a nice bit of me time. And I posted that lyric. And then all of a sudden, everybody thought we'd put Jerry Cinnamon.
You are always teasing who's here now.
Yeah, that journey wasn't a tease. That was just me enjoying my own personal time. And I had about 15 messages. You got Jerry? And I'm like, no, man. Why have you put that on? I'm like, well, sorry for using my Facebook for my personal stuff. But, you know, you are going to have doubts, you know, and you are going to have failures, you know. You know, without failure, there isn't success, because if you don't have failure, you can't really understand what success is, I don't think. And that sounds a bit deep, and I'm not really into sort of deep stuff like that, but it takes you a while to understand that. I think the whole thing about failure or moving on in whatever journey you're in, whether it's, you know, you work for somebody else, it's a career, or you go to university, or, you know, sixth form college or whatever, you know, hobbies, whatever, you've got to realise where your mistakes are. And, you know, if you make a mistake again and again and again, shame on you, of course. But you've got to sort of realise where you've dropped the ball and try not to do it again. Sometimes you might make that same mistake again. But if you tried not to make it, it's better than just sitting there and being oblivious to it.
it's stuff that keeps me up at night. There's little things that I did in the past, whether it's business or personal, I'm like, oh, why did I do that? But actually, it's that experience. And it's all about experience. And age, I think, plays a big factor. I've got a bunch of secondary school students from Byers Hill with me next week. All will be capable. It amazes me how year 12s are so, their heads are straight on. But it's about experience. The reason I know I can talk to them is because I've been through it and done it. And I guess, well, we'll move on to where we are now, the HMV Empire. But how much of that led to where you are, learning from those experiences of the Gosford Street Empire?
Yeah, loads, absolutely loads. I could probably write a book on it, to be fair.
Which you should.
Well, my English teacher would support that when I was at Whitley Abbey. But anyway, look, there are lots of things. There's some of them you forget about, those failures, until that comes up again and you think, oh, how did I deal with this last time? I think you're right, age does have a lot to do with it. I think some people get into business early and their mind is right for it, like you say, like the kids at Byers Hill, and that I wish them all the best. I was too immature for myself. I think I was too immature emotionally and business-like when to get into business earlier than I did. I still like going out with the lads. I didn't really have the focus. I had a young family as well. I mean, obviously, getting in... What I mean by getting into business, running a pub is a business, but it's not a hard business. You know, it's hard as in regards to making money. Yeah. But, you know, the decision, there aren't a lot of decision making. You order the stock. There's a framework you work to. And once you get past that, you know, everything sort of drops into place. But you're absolutely right. Experience is the best education in the world. And whether that experience be bad or good, you know, everybody in business has disappointments. Everybody in business has something that happens that they didn't see coming. And it's how you deal with it. And the longer you're in business, the more you realise those things have come in. So you deal with it, you know, before they hit you.
You have to be a certain kind of person as well. So I used to work for the NHS. So I worked for the NHS for 10 years. I was Mr. Corporate, like in marketing. I was relatively senior at the NHS and kind of decided it wasn't for me. So that was 6 years ago now. Edge and pain kind of came from that, but I think you have to be a certain kind of person that will stand up and go, actually, I'm going to do something different.
Yeah, I mean, you also, I mean, in my situation with the old Empire lease being sold onto a developer, I didn't really have much choice. I was either having to go back into another job, another career, and work for somebody else, which that's the one thing about when you work for yourself or have your own business. Very difficult to go back and work for somebody else. I don't think I could do it. And I think most people that have got their own businesses would say the same. So that was never really an option for me. So HMV, you know, for Hertford Street had to happen because we didn't have a venue to go to. Also, there was a massive part of me that felt that hadn't done what I wanted to do because we were limited without boring the listeners, we were limited. You're limited as a venue on your capacity. You know, it's not just like phoning up, you know, band HQ and going, I want to book your band. That doesn't happen. That never happened.
What was the capacity at the old event?
It was about 850. Sometimes we push that a little bit more, depending on the band, but it was about 850. But you are, you know, running a music venue at Gosford Street had lots of challenges and there's a lot of moody stuff going on down there towards the end with drug dealers and guns and stuff. There were some incidents where people were getting attacked outside the venue. The Evening Telegraph, God bless them, were, you know, focusing on us as the venue, as the landmark venue on the street, had nothing to do with us, which then didn't help with people wanting to come and buy tickets because they think people are getting macheted outside of the venue. And it had absolutely nothing to do. In fact, the time I'm thinking about it happening in Sainsbury's, we weren't even open. But so there's a lot of that sort of outside pressure going on. But we needed to move on. We needed to find somewhere else. And, you know, things happen for a reason. I'm a real big believer in that. I'm a real big believer in karma. And finding this venue, my son Jack was walking through town one day. And he saw the old sports shop, you know, been closed down for quite a while. And obviously he was privy to the conversations I was having with Jo, my wife, at home. And he just said to me one day at home, he said, Dad, have you thought about the old DW Sports? And I hadn't. And I was like, crikey, that was a big, big space. And I remembered it as the ABC. And I mean, that from the first time when we came in here with the keys to have a look round, I mean, it needed a lot of imagination, closely followed by a lot of money. I had the imagination. The money part was a little bit more difficult. But, you know, we did it without any loans. You know, our budget originally started around about, I think, just touching 200 grand. We thought 200 grand, we'll go in there, we'll do that, we'll sort it out. Finished on just under £1 million. And I'm not mocking COVID or you know, COVID is a terrible thing, but without COVID, we probably wouldn't be here because we managed to access a lot of funding via CRF funding and council funding and stuff like that that was set up for the City of Culture or Arts Council. So it was a lot of paperwork, reams and reams and reams of paper having to be filled in. A lot of imagination was required. I'm not saying we lied. Of course, we didn't lie, but a lot of imagination on what we were going to do with the new venue. But this new venue gave me and my team, our team, so many opportunities because we were upping the capacity to 1,200, which doesn't sound a lot from 850. But if you're a promoter and you want to put a decent level artist on, that's an extra 300 little tickets, right? That can be your make or break from putting in Falcon Street or putting in Hartford Street. So we were upping the ante, but we needed to make this venue better than anything else out there at a similar size capacity. And I sit here now, and I haven't been to every venue, it's just around 1,200 capacity, but I have been to a lot of them in my time, and I'm pretty confident we are probably the best out there.
I went to university in Nottingham, and I always said, before this place opened, and before I really discovered the old empire, Rock City was the place I spent a lot of time. And I always said it was something we didn't have in Coventry. And I remember your opening night and I was here. And I just said to you, this is like Rock City. It reminds me of that feel so much. I'm not quite sure what my point is, but I think obviously I'm friends with you on Facebook. I see what people say about the empire. All it is an endless stream of people saying, you've done something that wasn't done in our city. And that must be an amazing feeling.
I couldn't be happier. Because it's the reason I did it. It's the reason we did it. Most, you know, 99.9% of our team were from Coventry. But that's exactly why we did it. I mean, it's the whole reason I sort of did Farquhar, or we did Farquhar. I keep saying I. Excuse me, I'm taking all the credit here. But
talking to you at this moment.
Yeah, yeah. I just want people out there going, what's he on about?
I'll have to, as a separate podcast, I'll have to interview your wife. I'll interview her and see what she said about it all.
Let's try to make that happen. So where was I? You've
thrown you now. Not as soon as the wife was mentioned.
So it was always what we wanted to do. It's always what I wanted to do. The whole reason we opened up Farquhar Street was I was sick of going to see bands in Birmingham and having to get the last train home and miss the last 20 minutes of a gig or drive home, and so therefore I couldn't have a drink. But I like to go and have a gig. I like to go and have a beer when I'm at a gig. It relaxes me. It's all part of the experience for me. Now, that was the driving factor. And then when we moved into the city centre, you're absolutely right, Aaron. It fills me with a massive sense of pride that the people in this city come and talk to me. And you know, when I'm at a gig at Empire, people do come and talk to me. Some of them I know, some of them I don't know. And you know, they all say the same thing. We didn't come into the city centre. Me and my wife or my girlfriend or my partner didn't come into the city centre. There's nothing for us. And I think with the work that's been done over at Cathedral Edge with the Botanist and all the great little bars and restaurants over there, and what we've done less than 100 yards away, it gives the grown-ups in Coventry something to do. And I'm extremely proud of what we've done and what our team have done. And it is the driving force in pretty much everything we do in the venue. We want people to Coventry. This is a Coventry venue. It's for Coventry people. It's been built majority by Coventry people. It's ran and operated majority by Coventry people. And it is for Coventry people. And, you know, we do the BBC Community Awards here. We do a lot of stuff outside of music. We do a lot of work with the local unsigned bands, you know, free entry gigs, cheap beer on those free entry gigs, like the sessions night, because it just isn't all about Ed Sheeran and Paul Weller. As much as I love that element of it, that's the kudos part of it. That's what gives us national recognition as a venue. But for me, it's more than that, you know.
Which kind of goes back to why you're one of my favourite people in the city, because as we were walking in, I was showing you my next secret project, and I kind of said the same thing around, if I break even, it's a bonus. If I make money, it's a bonus. Really, I'm doing this stuff because I want to do it. It's good to kind of get your name out there and to kind of be part of the conversation. And I think that's it. I don't know, not to suck up to you too much, but I think that is why I resonate with what you've done here, is people doing good stuff for the best of the city.
Well, look, I've always been one that stands up for the city in every way. Look, Coventry isn't perfect. What city is? Coventry City Council aren't perfect. What council is? I think what's going on in the city over the past few years is giving the city a different heartbeat to what it had before. I think we're becoming a little bit more recognised for the better things in life, and some of the work that's going on and some of the work that will continue to go on will only enhance the reputation and the profile of the city. I'm proud to be part of that. I think going on your point where you've just said sucking up to me, I don't mean you're sucking up to me. I think the thing is, Aaron, is that I think people that recognise Coventry for what it is and want to make it better recognise each other. You know, there are people that aren't in their own business out there that love Coventry as much as we do. You know, Coventry's had a kick in, and I don't want to dwell on Facebook, because Facebook is a you know, complete different entity in itself. And I do find some of the, you know, if you put a story upon Coventry Live saying that there was a free gold bar given to every citizen in Coventry, there would be something like 400 posts on there complaining how the students have had their gold bar, or the bins aren't being emptied, or whatever else. There is that old school negativity, and those people either need to shape up, or ship out, whatever that word is.
Or they'll just be there forever. They will always be there.
There's a saying that a friend of mine uses, people saying it can't be done, should get out of the way of people trying to do it, you know? And that's right. Well, whatever level, whether you're a painter and decorator in this city, or whether you're a school cook, whether you're a policeman, whether you're a fireman, whether you're a venue operator, you know, an entrepreneur like yourself, you know, if you're trying to do positive things, contributing positive, like, we can all sit there and kick the cat about Coventry, but that's the easiest thing to do. Being negative is the easiest thing in the world. It takes no energy whatsoever. Being positive takes a great deal of energy. Doing something about that takes even more energy. And this is the thing, there are loads more positivity around Coventry. And that's my point, that we really need to sort of dampen down the negativity. Look, if there's something wrong, there's nothing wrong with saying it. Right, let's not just say there are too many students in the city. You know, I don't know the facts and figures, but we don't dwell on student pound here. You know, we do very little for the students. You know, they have their own places that they go to. You know, we do what we do. But the student economy is great for this city. I don't understand why people don't get it. You know, it's bringing millions and millions of pounds a year in. All the blocks that are being built wouldn't have been built, and they would probably just still be wasteland or whatever they were before. It's replaced a large chunk of the industry that we've lost, you know, through Jaguar Cars and Peugeot. I worked at Peugeot, you know. So, you know, people just need to be a little bit more positive about Coventry. And I love it when people come and tell me that, you know, that they come to the venue or they've been to see a show, wherever it is. I was in the shop the other day and by my house. I was just buying some water. And this guy was in front of me and he couldn't look around. He went, "You're the guy that owns that place in town, ain't you?" And I was like, "Oh, the Empire." He went, "Yeah, that's it." And I went, "Yeah, yeah." He goes, "Oh, I've been meaning to come here. They're great things." That's beautiful.
And I think that runs through the city. There's people like yourself or JD or Trish or Pete Chambers or Phil that would always say to me, like, "Well done, like, keep it up. We're proud of you." I've only been doing Etch and Pin now about 6 years. And before, I was kind of behind the scenes. I was in the NHS. I didn't really have a profile. And in the way that I've got now, all I see is people wanting to support other Coventrians who are doing good work.
Well, in my world, in my mindset, I can't see it any other way. I think anybody doesn't want to do that, maybe I've just got rid of those types of people that are around me, or maybe the people that were like that around me have grown like I have. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, when I was, and I touched on it earlier, when I was working on the track at Peugeot, I was a lot different person to I am now, but I was like, you know, I was 19 years of age, 20 years of age, you know. I had no responsibilities in the world at that particular time, just me and getting paid, buying clothes, and going out on the jolly boys. But, you know, I sort of swam with that mentality. I was a bit bitter. If I saw somebody doing well, I did have that sort of bit of negativity in my heart.
Yeah, I saw something yesterday that someone had said that when they grew up, they learned that life isn't a competition. And it resonated with me. And I think that almost goes back to what I was saying about people supporting each other. Actually, you don't have to compete with other people. You just live in your own journey. Don't try and compare yourself to what other people are doing.
I think you've got to get yourself. I mean, when it comes to sort of competition and stuff, I am pretty competitive. I am pretty competitive, yeah. But I think in the right way.
Yeah.
Obviously played football when I was younger and stuff like that, and you know, not very good, but still, you know, I wanted to win, and I have got that competitive edge. But I don't do it
to against other people. I'm in competition with myself. I'm not trying to better other people. Yeah. I'm trying to be the best version of me. Absolutely. So I'm competitive.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, I think if you don't want to succeed, there has to be something in there. If you don't want to win on it, I don't think you care enough about it. And there are things in life that I'm not that fussed about, and you know, you can come and go, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. And because I don't love it, I don't have any love for it, and I'm, you know, it's just another day at work, or it's another situation to deal with, or whatever. When it's something that I love, I'm all over that.
Right, before I let you go then, so yeah, obviously we've already touched upon some of the high profile acts that we've had here. We see Weller standing over me on your picture you have there. Obviously we've had Ed Sheeran, you've had Grennan, you've had the Tom and the Enemy. Yeah. Who's been your favourite so far?
Oh no, that's impossible. I can't answer that. I can answer it, but I can't answer it with one person. Different bands for different reasons. Paul Weller is absolutely huge for me. Anyone knows me will know, you know, I'm a bit of a lad's lad, you know. Football and the Jam and the Specials and the Enemy, you know, that's probably where my heart is. But we've had some really cool, you know, Damon Albarn came here with his orchestra and piano. That was special, really special. Obviously, having Ed Sheeran here, biggest name ever to play Empire. I can't really think that we'll probably get a bigger name on the pop front, you know. That was big because it was one of our first big gigs. And I still kick myself today and think, Ed Sheeran stood on that stage, you know. But there are a number, you know, Damon Albarn, Paul Weller. We've got some good stuff coming out. Ian Brown next Wednesday. We're about to announce. We've got some really cool HMV live shows coming through the pipeline. One was confirmed yesterday, which will tick a lot of boxes for 90s, 2000, you know, people that love that era. Massive band, still touring, still writing music, but they are a huge band back in the day. So, that, you know, I think even some of the unsigned nights have been great nights. You know, like when the other session and Danny Ansell and, you know, the Institutes and the Mucks and Candid and all these sort of young bands that are coming through. You know, to see their enthusiasm for their music, learning their stagecraft, learning what being a musician in front of a crowd is all about. That excites me. It's good to be able to have a platform for those bands, and I'd like to think that when they have HMV Empire on their poster, I hope that gets them more gigs outside of the city, which I know to be true because I've been told that by one or two of the bands. It almost opens doors for other bands, and it's how they run with that, of course.
I've got the same thing with my books. So I generally use illustrators that have not had their work commissioned in a book before. And the same thing, I want it to be that they can use it to tend to publishers and to actually use it as something on their portfolio to say they've done.
Well, it's brilliant. You know, it's a leg up. You know, I'm sure Tom Grennan would have made it, whether Tom played at Empire first at Gosford Street in 2016 or not. In fact, he would have made it. You know, Tom's become a friend of mine now, and he's a great lad, and he's a very talented, hardworking guy. Very, very hardworking. And he would have made it anyway. But, you know, to have people like that and Declan McKenna. Mm-hmm. I mean, Declan McKenna sold 1,200 tickets here last year. He played Empire at Gosford Street. The 24 people turned up, and they were like 16, 17-year-old young girls. And to go where he's gone now is amazing. So that sort of thing, people, you know, nothing would make me happier than to see an unsigned band from Coventry that had maybe played the Empire Sessions night a number of times, then go on to a bigger venue somewhere else and come back and play us on the way up, get a contract with a label, and make their hobby into a career.
It's going to be the Institutes, I tell you.
You think?
Honestly, so the Institutes do this. Yeah, honestly, they do the intro and outro music to this podcast. Top lads, top music.
No. Listen, look. If the fire alarms start going off, blame Andy Hall, because Andy installed all the fire alarms and CCTV here. So look, you know, I know Reed. You know, I go back a long while when Reed was in the Shackletons and the like. You know, all the way back to the days of the establishment when we used to put sort of rock in the establishment nights on down there. Great lads, you know, great band, got cracking manager now. Yeah, nothing would make me prouder than to have a band that we've in some way helped to go on and make it as a career. I mean, that's why these kids do it. Not all of them are kids nowadays. That's aimed at the Institutes. Only joking, lads. You know, a lot of these kids have a lot of talent and, you know, no, like I say, nothing would make me happier than to see one of them or a few of them go on to start filling out arenas and really going for it.
Thank you for your time. Absolute pleasure. I think you know how much I admire this place and you in general. And great for you to give me some of your time today.
No worries. Plebs, God bless.